Well, let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would please, and turn to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22, and we are continuing in our study of the book of Genesis. And we find ourselves, if you are at all familiar with the Bible, this is a very important portion of Scripture in the life of Abraham, and we find a wonderful picture of salvation in our text. Now, what I would like to do is really divide this message into two parts, to work our way from verse 1 to verse 13, primarily in the aspect of what God is doing in the life of Abraham. And then next week, we'll deal with this passage in light of the message of salvation that we find here in Genesis 22. And I think that you'll be grateful that I split this in two. And so we find ourselves in Genesis 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now before we begin in our study of this passage, it is important to reconcile two verses. The first one is the first verse where the Bible says that God did tempt Abraham. Now, we ask ourselves the question, what was God trying to find? Well, the answer is for us found in verse number 12. The Bible says, And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Notice, For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And so we note the words of the Lord, Now I know that thou fearest God. And so I would like, and it's very difficult to, because of the great message of salvation that we find in those verses, not to deal with those, but we'll have to be patient until next week, but to consider first of all what God is doing in the life of Abraham, because I believe that there are lessons, although God does not ask us and request of us to offer our own son unto him, we get the overarching idea of the passage, and that as God is testing, is trying, is tempting Abraham to find out if Abraham fears God. Now, as we consider the passage, we note what the New Testament says about this account. In the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, we find the New Testament summary record of what took place here in Genesis chapter number 22. And the Bible puts it this way in Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so we find here that what Abraham did in this passage, the Bible summarizes that he did it by faith. The offering of his son Isaac and his willingness to do that after the command of God was a great testament to the faith of Abraham. Now I want us to look at this passage and to consider, first of all, as we consider this passage with how God is dealing with Abraham, I want us to consider this first expression we find.
But notice here, we find here
the words in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, the word tempt means to test, to attempt, to prove, or to try. This word, you find the same word used, translated in Exodus 16:4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. That is the same word. The word prove is the same word that is used in Genesis 22:1, translated tempt. 2 Chronicles 32:31 says, Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him. And so we find that expression to try is the same expression here we find of the idea of tempting. It would be in the same way that we find it when the Bible here is written to the people of Israel and he says, Do not tempt the Lord your God. So the idea of tempting here is not the idea of trying to get someone to sin. The idea of tempting is the idea of going through a trial, if you would, going through a conflict in order to bring something good out of it. The Bible uses the expression in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so we understand that the idea of this trial, this proving, this test, this tempting is seen in the picture, if you would, as you would refine gold. If you take a piece of gold, you would pass it through the fire. And what the fire would do is the heat would cause the gold to melt, and all the dirt and all the filth that was in the gold would rise to the top, and then they would scrape off the dirt from the top to refine the gold and to make it pure gold. And so the idea that we have in our mind here is God is coming to Abraham to tempt him, to try him, to prove him. He is trying to prove something in his life, to bring about something in his life. And so we find that, by the way, God does the same with us. God never causes us to sin, but He does come in our life to test us, to prove us, to try us, to refine us. Would we all agree this morning that we need refining? I mean, if anybody this morning, if you would like to share your perfection with us this morning, go ahead and stand up and tell us all about it. I don't think anybody's there. As a matter of fact, I believe that any genuine child of God finds themselves as the Apostle Paul, who understood that he saw himself as the chief of sinners, and who, as one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, apart from Christ, considered himself to not have attained, to not have arrived. And so, may we consider ourselves this morning. I want us to consider, as we open our text this morning, consider first of all the test reserved.
The Bible here says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." And I want us to consider that this test, this trying, this temptation here to bring about something in the life of Abraham, understand that it was reserved for Abraham. This is not a test that God requires every child of God to go through. This was reserved particularly for Abraham. I want us to consider, as we consider this test reserved, first of all, we see the passing of time. The Bible tells us here, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." You see, this account recorded did not happen at a random time in the life of Abraham. The Bible tells us, "After these things." But we ask ourselves the question, what are these things a reference to? Because it seems to us that for God to come and to tempt Abraham, to test Abraham, a certain number of things had to take place in the life of Abraham before God came to him to test him with this particular test. The immediate context would point toward how God worked miraculously. If we go back to Genesis 21, which was a great launching point for Genesis 22, we'd find that God had worked miraculously in the promise of Isaac, because in Genesis 21, Isaac is born. We also find that God worked out miraculously in the preservation of Ishmael. Remember, God said to drive away Ishmael and his mother, but God gave a promise that he would preserve them, and God did so. And then you find that God also gave Abraham favor with the king. Now we find those things, and at the end of chapter number 21, we find that Abraham called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And so we found that Abraham recognized the hand of God in all of his life and all that happened. But notice, one of that promise was fulfilled in Genesis 21 with the birth of Isaac. And by the way, that promise was found first in Genesis 12. Do you remember when God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees? The Bible says in Genesis 12:2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." We know that that promise would then include the promise of a son, that this seed that he was speaking of, this great nation, would come forth from his own seed. And we find that this promised son would be Isaac. And so understand that when we read in Genesis 22, after all these things came to pass, understand that we have to go back to Genesis 12, where God made the promise of the seed, and now God had fulfilled that promise of a seed in Isaac in Genesis 21. And now we come after all these things, after Abraham has been a witness of the promised seed fulfilled, the preservation of Ishmael, and the fact that God has blessed the king because of Abraham's sake. He's been a witness of what God has done. And now there comes this test, and we could call this the final test in the life of Abraham. Abraham was a witness of the faithfulness of the Lord. And so we see the passing of time, but number two, and so understand that this test here is not a random test at any moment in the life of Abraham. It is particular to this time and moment. But secondly, we not only see the passing of time, but secondly, we see the promptness of the test. Notice the instruction from God. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And he said, take," what's the next word? "Now. Take now thy son." In other words, this command was to be obeyed without delay. In other words, God did not ask Abraham to consider this for a while. He did not ask Abraham to pray about it. He did not ask Abraham what he thought about it. He just said, "Do it now." And so there's an indication for us that God had prepared Abraham in his life all the way up to this point. And by the way, God prepares us all of our lives for where we are now. And he did so in the life of Abraham. And he says, "Take thy son now." You see, we noted in the previous chapter in Genesis 21 that Abraham recognized God as the everlasting God. He recognized how God intervened in Isaac, in the conception of Isaac and his birth. He recognized how God intervened in Ishmael's preservation. And he recognized how God intervened in human affairs in the midst of a pagan king. And so we know that Abraham was ready for this test from Jehovah, as he says, "Take now thy son." And so the test was not only after the passing of time, but it was to be obeyed promptly. But thirdly, we see the person of the test. Who would this test include? Well, the Bible tells us. Take verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Now just a reminder, Isaac was the son of the promise. We remember that Abraham and Sarah tried, remember, to find a substitute for the promised son, and they orchestrated something with Hagar, and Ishmael came about. It is noteworthy to see that Isaac is referred to as Abraham's only son. There was only one son that was promised of God. There was only one son by whom the promised seed of the woman would come. That son was Isaac. And he says, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. You know, there is no doubt that Abraham had a deep love for his son Isaac as any father would for his son. We would understand the added affection and appreciation for Isaac knowing how Isaac came to be. How Abraham would respond to this command would be an indication of where Abraham's greatest affection lied. You know, this is not some foreign thing that we read. Jesus even said something similar. He said, if you don't hate your father and mother for my sake, you're not worthy to be called my disciple. This is not a call from the Lord to hate upon your family members. It is a call of God, a test on the affection and where it lies. Where is the greatest affection that we have? Is it for the Lord? And lest we think that this is something that is not natural, when we have a proper affection for God, then we will have a proper affection for our family members. You see, apart from God, there is really truly no understanding of love. And so he says that our first command is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength. You see, Abraham had already proven, by the way, that he loved God more than Ishmael. You remember when God told Abraham to send Ishmael away, even though the Bible tells us it was very grievous to him in Genesis 21:11. The Bible says, and the thing was grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son, but yet Abraham still obeyed the Lord and sent Ishmael away. So to a degree, Abraham had already proven that. But this is his only son, the son of the promised seed, the one to whom the great nation would come. And so we see the person of the test. But fourthly, we see the place of the test. Where was Abraham to go? The Bible says, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now that's significant, and I'll talk more about that next week, but this land of Moriah is significant as we consider the history of Israel. The land of Moriah would later be known as Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles 3:1, we find that Solomon, in the building of the temple, the Bible says Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And so we find that Moriah would be the place where Jerusalem would be, and this would be the place where later Messiah would come in, and this is the place where he would be crucified. Now we'll deal with that next. I have to calm myself down and deal with that next week. But we will touch on it again. But we see the place here, Moriah, that Abraham is to travel to, but we understand in the context of this passage here that this would be a three-day journey for Abraham. This was not next door. It was not God said, go up that mountain right there. It was a three-day journey to go to Moriah. And so we see in the test that was reserved, the passing of time, the promise of the test, the person of the test, the place of the test, but consider, lastly, the pain of the test. He is to take his only son, whom he loves, and the Bible tells us in the end of verse 2, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So travel to this region, I'll tell you, and when you reach there, I'll tell you which mountain to go up to, and when you reach that mountain, you will offer your son as a burnt offering. Can you imagine the pain in the heart of Abraham? I really doubt that he consulted with Sarah. The Bible indicates nothing to us. He left. But it seems to us, concerning the indications of this passage, that Abraham expected Isaac to come back. Do you remember when they stand at the bottom of that mountain, he says to the two servants that were with him, I and the lad will go and worship and will come again. God, Abraham was expecting Isaac to come back, and so no doubt he would not share with Sarah, his wife, that, God commanded me to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. And so no doubt this would be something very painful for Abraham. But may I say that this test, Abraham was not ready for it in Genesis 12. But he's now ready for this in Genesis 22. Many things have taken place between now and then in the life of Abraham. God has worked on his behalf. God has intervened on his behalf. And now Abraham is ready. And so we see the test revealed. But secondly, we see the trustworthy ruler. And what I mean by that is I'm referring to God. The Bible says in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. I want you to notice two expressions we found in verse 5. The Bible says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. A little later in verse 8, as Isaac asked his father, there's the fire, there's the wood, where is the lamb for the offering? And verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. You see, those statements here in the heart and the mind of Abraham were statements of faith. They were statements of the fact that Abraham was saying, God is trustworthy. Because he has said that through Isaac shall thy seed be called. He said that through Isaac all families of the earth would be blessed, and I have the promise of God. And although God is asking me to do something, I recognize that this is beyond my comprehension. But the one thing I know for sure is that God is trustworthy. And so I must reconcile everything to the truth that God is trustworthy. I may not understand everything, but the one thing I do understand is that God is trustworthy. And I want us to consider several things in the trustworthy ruler. First of all, because God was trustworthy, Abraham was speedy. Notice verse 3, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. I don't know about you, but I think I would have dreaded that moment. I thought maybe we'll sleep in a little bit. Delay this thing. But he rises up early in the morning. And he does it right away. And so it comes to us to understand that this word from the Lord came during the nighttime as Abraham perhaps was sleeping. And he rises up first thing in the morning, and because the instruction from God was to go now. And so he rises up early in the morning and he gets ready and he prepares. And so understand, why did he do this quickly? Because God was trustworthy. And in our lives, as we serve God and as God gives us commands and instructs us and gives us wisdom from His Word, we as His people ought to say, God is trustworthy. And in our obedience, we ought to be speedy. Why? Because He is trustworthy. But also because God was trustworthy, Abraham was steadfast. The Bible tells us in verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So he's still not there. It's still afar off, but he sees it on the third day. In other words, he was willing to be steadfast. But why? Because God was trustworthy. Can you imagine the trip? Can we go on this journey with Abraham on that three-day trip? Conversations? Can you imagine perhaps Isaac look at his father, and there's no doubt it would have an effect on his countenance, I would imagine. As he's walking and a three-day journey and they're conversing and he's following the instruction of the Lord. We do not have the conversations recorded, but we know this, Abraham was steadfast. You know, often when we follow the Lord, we start off great. But then the next day, things fall apart. Have you ever been encouraged when you've come to church and or you've read your Bible in your private devotion and you've been strengthened. But as soon as you go to the next step or the next day or the next transition in your day, everything falls apart. You see, Abraham continued. Not just one day, but a three-day journey. And he sees the place afar off which God had instructed him to go to. And so, because God was trustworthy, Abraham was speedy, he was steadfast. But thirdly, because God was trustworthy, Abraham was submitted. And the Bible tells us in verse 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." The word worship is an important word that literally means to bow down, to stoop to the ground, to humble oneself, to prostrate oneself, to lay oneself across the earth in humility and submission to God. I don't know what you think, but perhaps in this account, as we think as man pertains to the flesh and as God would have requested that of us, I don't know how you felt. Would you be in the spirit of say, we're going to bow and worship the Lord? We're going to humble ourselves in His sight? But why did he do this? Abraham humbled. He bowed himself to the ground. He submitted himself to the Lord. Why? Because God was trustworthy. He was speedy. He was steadfast. He was submitted. But also, because God was trustworthy, Abraham was sure. We come again to those two expressions. When Abraham sees the mount afar off, and he tells the two servants with him, he says, "Abide here, while I and the lad will go all yonder and worship, and we will come again to you." What a statement of faith. What a statement of sureness, of certainty, to make that statement. Later, Isaac, as he separates from the servants, and he now has the wood strapped on his back, he has the wood, and he sees his father, and he has the knife, and he has the fire, and he thinks to himself, "Well, it looks like we got everything. There's just one thing missing." And he calls to his father and Abraham, and he says, "Well, where's the lamb? Where's the offering?" And Abraham says, "By faith, with certainty, God will provide Himself a lamb." What gives you certainty? Is it the fact that God is trustworthy? You see, the reason why we look at the testimony of Abraham is not because of his ability. It's not because of the fact that he has something special that was in him that was not in... He was a normal human being. But the reason why he was speedy and steadfast and submitted and sure was not based on anything that came from within himself. It was what he saw God as. He was trustworthy. And I've relied on the promises of God. And as I've looked at my life back from Genesis 12, since He called me, I have seen Him only faithful. I've seen Him only trustworthy and reliable. And I cannot doubt Him now. And so, may the Lord help us. The Bible, so we see the test that was reserved for Abraham, the trustworthy ruler, but thirdly, we see the truth revealed. What was all this for? Now, we'll deal with it next week in its full extent. But in verse 9, the Bible says, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there." And do you see the instruction? "And he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." I want you to notice here, his faith led to obedience. This is the proving of one's faith. And Abraham had done so in various ways before. You remember when God instructed Abraham to circumcise all the male from their household? What did God say? "It will be a token of the covenant that I've made with you. It will be a sign. If you do this and obey, it will be a revelation that you have faith in what I've told you to do." And here in the same way, his faith led to his obedience. Now, his obedience is specific. The Bible says Abraham built an altar. He laid the wood in order. He didn't just throw the wood there. He did as he would always do for a sacrifice to the Lord. He bound Isaac, his son, and usually he bound a lamb. He bound an animal. But now he binds his son. The Bible says he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And then he stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And so there is a pattern here that something that would always be observed in the life of Abraham, something that he always did, that he was familiar with, something that he did consistently. But now there's something different about this particular offering. His son is there. And his son is the sacrifice. His son is the offering that is supposed to be given to the Lord. And everything has been done. The only thing that's different is that his son is on the offering, is on the altar. But he was obedient through it all. But we also see that his faith revealed his fear. The Bible tells us in verse 11, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." God says, "Now I know that thou fearest God." You know, when we are, our faith is tried, you know what is revealed in our lives? Our obedience. You know what is also revealed in our lives? How much we truly fear the Lord. That's what's revealed. And here is what is revealed by the trying of this faith, is that Abraham feared the Lord. But not just that he feared the Lord, because I believe that to some extent we all have the fear of God, but really there's different extent of fear. Because we could fear the Lord enough to maybe go to church, but not fear the Lord enough to witness. We can fear the Lord for certain things, but not for other aspects of our lives. And here, God points out here, this is the full extent of your fear. Abraham fears the Lord, and there is absolutely nothing that Abraham would not do for God. There's absolutely nothing that God says, there's nothing that you would keep from me, nothing that you would reserve from me, nothing that you would take away and say, this is a line that God cannot enter into. Everything is open to the Lord. And he can ask me to do anything. His fear, his faith revealed his obedience, and it revealed his fear. But also, we see his faith procured his peace. Now, trust me, it's very difficult for me not to deal with what we're going to deal with next week now. But could you see at the moment, the scene is laid up for us here, and the altar has been built, the wood has been laid, and you find on that altar of sacrifice the son of Abraham bound upon the altar. The fire is ready. The only thing that would take place between the time the fire was lit and the sacrifice was to be burned is the slaying of the sacrifice. And so at that moment, Abraham does what he would always do. He raises his hand and he takes the knife, and right at that moment, as he's ready to slay his son and to kill his son to offer him as an offering to the Lord, right at that moment, when you have the full extent of the display of the faith of Abraham, he has been fully obedient. He completely fears the God. There is nothing that will Abraham would say, you cannot touch this aspect of my life. At that very moment, everything stops. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. God had often done that, had he not? But I believe perhaps there is no more precious calling than that present one. When he's about to slay his son, and then Abraham says, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Can you imagine the relief at that moment? God speaks and says, don't touch your son. But I want you to see that statement of faith is not yet been fully procured. Why? Because Abraham said God will provide himself a lamb. There still needs to be a lamb. There still needs to be a sacrifice offered to the Lord. That's why we came there. That's why this altar was built. That's why the wood was prepared. That's why the fire was... That's why the knife, we have the knife with us. Why? Because there needs to be a sacrifice offered to the Lord. And so understand that as that faith of Abraham is displayed, there is a relief here because he has fully trusted the Lord, and the Lord says, stop. And notice at that moment, the Bible says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes in verse 13 and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Can you imagine what wells up in the heart of Abraham as God said stop, as his hand is raised against his son, and God says stop, at the moment he stops and he says, don't let your son look, there's a ram over there. The Bible tells us, it would indicate the language to us. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes, and the Bible says, behind him. You know what that means? He was had his eyes lift up to heaven, listening to the Lord, and all of a sudden he hears noise behind him. And he turns around, and there's a ram caught in the thicket. And he goes over, grabs that ram, and goes through the same process that he went through with his son. He binds that ram. He lifts up the knife. He slays the ram, and the Bible says he did all of that in the stead of his son. I'm reserving much of this for next week, but I want us to consider, when it pertains to Abraham particularly, do you see right there how his faith procured his peace? I trust the Lord, and he is going to leave this place having perfect peace because he has witnessed how God provided for a lamb, as he had previously stated. You see, the truth is, Abraham leave this place rejoicing more than ever in the provision of God. He calls this place Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And God did provide, as he had always done, but this was a special provision, as never seen before. And so, Abraham leave this place. Can you see the moment? He followed the Lord in fear. There was pain in his heart. There was anguish. But yet he followed the Lord and obeyed him. As the trial was going in his faith, there was pain. There was really heartache, and there's difficulty in all of this. But yet in the midst of all that, he still spoke in faith. He says, God is trustworthy, and I am doing this. And so you see the trying that is taking place, the testing that is taking place in the life of Abraham, the difficulty it is to at times obey the Lord, and the challenge that it could be to any life, and specifically here in the life of Abraham at this time. But yet he fully exercises his faith, but yet as he responds and fully follows the Lord in faith, he receives perfect peace. And I imagine in our lives that as we follow the Lord and seek to be obedient to the Lord and to have faith in God and to fear the Lord, that there is difficulty, there is anguish, there is heartache, there is trials. But understand that until we fully have faith in God and continue in our obedience, in our faithfulness to Him because He is trustworthy, understand that if we are not faithful, we cannot receive the peace of God. Why? Because we've not come to the end of that our faith being tried. I would say that everyone wants peace. Everyone wants the peace that, as we say, passes all understanding. But not many are willing to go through the trial in its full extent to receive the peace of God. And so what we often do is we will create our own peace. Abraham could have said, look, I'll offer a sacrifice, just not my son. And so he could have reasoned with God, couldn't he not? He could have created his own peace, but that's not what he chose. You see, true peace is not something that can be manufactured within our own selves. True peace is something that God does in our lives as we see Him again and again provide as He takes us through our faith being tried. And so may the Lord help us. This, the beginning of this passage was for that. We find at the end of the passage. Can you see how the confidence of Abraham reached a new height in this passage as he saw the provision of God? And I believe that God will take us to the same process in our lives. God is trying to bring us along to greater heights of faith, to a greater place where we can say, I've seen God be faithful again and again and again, and it's always getting greater. Now we'll look at next week, the great message of salvation in this passage, and it is wonderful indeed. But I want this to be a challenge for us this morning, to understand that at times God will try our faith. God is trying to conform us and to mold us in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, and ultimately He's trying to provide and to bring about true peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding that the world cannot explain. But that peace is only achieved when our faith is tried and we seek God through the trial. And so may the Lord help us.